Proverbs chapter number 29, Proverbs chapter number 29. If you're able, I'll have you stand with me. We're going to read just one verse here and spend some time in it tonight. I think it's a fitting verse and for tonight. Annual business meeting. State of the church address, victory meeting, they got all sorts of names. I don't know what you want to call it, but it is that time of the year on this Wednesday night that we just take time and elect some new trustees that we also go over our financial report for the year, look back to what God's done. And so we're going to be doing the majority of that after the conclusion of the invitation. But I think this verse here is just perfect for tonight and for a night like tonight. So let's look at it, and if you just read it silently as I read it aloud, Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." It is a very, very familiar verse. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And many of you could have quoted it tonight. I want to take a look at it and just see exactly what it means. What it means to us as a church and what it means to us as individuals. So let's pray and we'll get right into it tonight. Father, I'm thankful for, again, the opportunity to be here and just to spend some time in your word tonight. And Lord, as this message is going to move toward, it's just imperative that, Lord, you speak to us, that you do a work in our hearts and lives. And God, that we're submissive and listen to it, and that we keep what you tell us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just be with the remainder of the service, and that you would just take away any distractions. Be with our children as they're over in another building. Be with those that are teaching them tonight. And I pray that they would grow in the faith. I pray that if there's one that doesn't know you, that they would get saved tonight. And then God, in this auditorium, you'd do the same. You'd grow us in the faith. If there's one here that's not saved, that they'd get saved tonight. And that you just do a work in our midst. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, we're going to look back over finances. We're going to look back tonight over those that have been saved and baptized and added to our church. And so this naturally has my mind and my heart these last couple of days thinking back to 2023 and to life at Bethany Baptist Church and to what God has done. And I can't help but think even back to our 50th anniversary celebration. It may not be this way for everyone, but for me, that was just kind of the pinnacle of the year, the very peak, and seeing all of those people come back and having Brother Michael Kaufman and Brother Denson and Dusty Bryan and Jaron McFarland preach and have all of them and their families sing and just really celebrate all that God did in our church. And it was honestly, it was just a weekend where we stopped and we thanked God for what he has done for 50 years here at the church. But it seemed like in each of those messages, they all alluded to the fact that we're not satisfied with just what God has done, but we're anticipating what God's going to do. We're looking forward and toward all that God has in store for us. One man, when it came to dealing with churches and church life, some would call him an expert, Stephen Swihart. He said this. He said, "I would say that the lifespan of the average church is somewhere between 20 and 40 years. If that's the case, then we've already exceeded the norm." He said, "There will be exceptions to this generalization, of course, but most churches begin to die inwardly earlier than they eventually die outwardly." So if the average church is between 20 and 40 years is the lifespan. He's saying that long before they closed their doors, long before they closed things down and people all moved to another church, long before that, that church has been dying and dying inwardly long before it dies spiritually. Ladies, we're gonna pay attention up here if we could. That'd be great. He went on to say, physically, a church may easily last 100 years or more. Well, that'd be awesome. But spiritually, most congregations begin to wilt and suffer a kind of crippling paralysis long before that. That's sad. Another source that I read after said that the average church will survive 70 years. I would like to think that's more of the norm. But he added this. They peak at 15. That's like the peak, 15. So some would say 20 to 40 years, some would say 70 years, but all, it seems like, would be in agreement of those that I read after, that somewhere less than 20 years, a church would hit its peak. Like everybody that I believe that's in this auditorium, and if you don't, you will learn to, I love this church. I think about this often. I have one life to live. There's no do-overs. I don't get a second chance. I don't get to start over and begin my ministry fresh and new. I have one life to live. And for whatever reason, God has chosen my desire, I hope, for the last 20, 25, maybe as many as 30 years to spend them serving right here at Bethany Baptist Church. And I'm coming in on the latter part of this 50 years that this church has been around. But here's what I know, and I believe I'm in good company. I don't want my labor to be in vain. I don't want my life's work to be at naught. I've been in a part of some boards, and I've been a part of some fellowships and had some leadership positions, and I've joked with others that had those same leadership positions. Eventually this organization, eventually this fellowship, eventually this college, it's probably going to die. I just don't want it to die under my watch. Well, that's all the more true at the church. I can't say what's going to happen if the Lord tarries his coming. If this church makes it to 100 years or 150 years, I can't say. All I know is I don't want it to begin to decline under my watch. I don't want it to have peaked under another pastor. I don't want it to have had its heyday back then. I want to see this church continue to go forward. When my time comes, whenever that is, and I pass this ministry off to the next generation, my prayer is that it's one of the young men that have grown up in this church, and I pass that torch off to them and allow them to become a pastor, and the church calls them to be a pastor. I want it to be done in such a way that the church is vibrant, it is alive, and with the very best days ahead for whoever I pass it on to. So it leads me to this question. What do we need? What needs to happen in order for this church to move ahead? So that it didn't peak, so that it didn't start to fizzle after 15 years, that it didn't have its heyday 20 years ago. What do we need in order for this church to have its best days ahead and someday pass it along to one of our kids or one of our grandkids and know that when Brother Allen's grandbaby... Hey, did you hear about that? He's going to be a grandpa. He's an old man. Someday when his grandkid, you knew I'd fit that in somewhere, didn't you? that this church is still strong for them. What needs to happen? Well, a quick survey of modern day preachers, here's what they would say that we need. We just need a vision. Well, we need leadership with a vision. We need a pastor that has some vision. Some vision for the future. I listened to some messages that men preached on this very verse. Here's some of the things they said in their messages. One man said, "No organization will survive without vision. Apart from vision," I mean, he's preaching hard, "individuals will perish. Without vision, our children will perish. Without vision, communities will perish. Without vision, churches will perish. Without vision, societies will perish. Without vision, lost souls will perish. Without vision, the sick and the elderly will perish. Without vision, the incarcerated will perish. Without vision, we as a people shall surely perish." Man, it sounded good. Almost gave me goosebumps. Another man in his message said, "Well, where there's no vision, the people perish." That's our verse. He said, "Without a vision, we are like a rock that has been skipped on the top of some lake somewhere, and we have no way of guiding ourselves. We are at the lake's mercy as to where we go and end up, as to how far we go, or as to when we turn or stop. We have no control over our own lives." One more man said, "Vision, it's essential for survival." He said, "It's spawned by faith, it's sustained by hope, it's sparked by imagination, it's strengthened by enthusiasm." I wish I was that articulate. If I'm ever that articulate, you know I stole it from somebody or read it out of a commentary. "It is greater than sight, deeper than a dream, broader than an idea. Vision encompasses vast vistas outside of the realm of predictable, the safe, the expected. No wonder," he said, "we perish without it." Something made me wonder, how do we get this vision? I mean, it seems like it's pretty important according to these men. So how do we get this vision? And so I began to do some research on what some people said about vision and how we get it. And one man said, "Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process." Another man said, "Well, it's something that's easy to lose and hard to regain." Another man said about vision, "It's absolutely necessary for survival." Well, goodness, well, Bethany Baptist Church to survive, and if it's necessary, then we better figure out what it is. Another man said, "Vision makes us able to beat the odds and do the impossible. Vision helps us to live life." And so you begin to ask, okay, how do we get this? What's the process? And then it leads me to this question. What is vision then? Help me out. If this is something that's so important and it's a process and I have to really work hard to regain it if I ever lose it, then what is vision? To which one man simply put it this way. It's the ability to see. It's the ability to dream. It's the ability to think as big as God thinks. Well, that sounds really good, doesn't it? Sounds really spiritual. The ability to see. Okay, so this is the way they picture it. That vision, the ability to see, to dream, to see as big as God sees. So I gather together a group of people tonight, and I take you out in the parking lot, and I say, I've got a vision for this place. That two-story, it's got a foundation problem, and here's my vision. I can see it. Can you see it? I can see us knocking down that building. And that nursery, wouldn't you love to have an updated nursery? I can see it. We'll knock down that nursery too. And that Kids for Christ, it's just not big enough. How about we just knock it all down? We start buying some houses around here and adding parking, and we just build one big, massive new building there. We can have fellowships, and we can have a coffee shop, and we can just have Sunday school, and we can have a brand new state-of-the-art nursery. I mean, can you see it? Can you see it right there sitting in our parking lot? Can you see what I see? And to them, that's vision. When I candidated here, went to one of the first classrooms in the two-story, sat down with a bunch of men, some that are here right now, and somebody asked me, "Well, what's your vision?" I got nothing. You mean you don't have a vision for this? No. Number one, I don't even know if you're going to call me back to be your pastor. I don't know if God's in this. I've only been in this property and with you men for a very short amount of time. I got no vision. I'm empty. I've got nothing. My vision is this, that God does what God can do and we follow him. That's my vision. But that's often what people want to know. That's the way they think of vision. Many in the circles in which we run talk about their great vision, and he's a great visionary. Maybe even some in this congregation, some who have stood behind this pulpit, maybe at times even myself. I've interpreted vision as being the same thing. I want to be very clear tonight. I don't think there's anything wrong with a person dreaming big. I don't think there's anything wrong with thinking of all that God can and could and maybe will do here. I think it's healthy to think big and to think of all that God can do. I think it's healthy to think beyond even 40th and Quaker and think of how Lubbock is growing in that direction and a new piece of property and new buildings and new parking lots that are absolutely packed out and just reaching Lubbock for Jesus Christ. I don't think there's anything that is wrong with that. Nothing at all. If there's anything wrong with standing in the parking lot and thinking about, man, it'd be awesome if we had a building big enough we could all fellowship in. We had a new nursery, new Sunday school classrooms, maybe a building big enough that we could start a Christians. I don't think there's anything wrong with any of that. But I want to be clear. A bunch of us standing in the parking lot with that kind of vision, is that really what's going to keep Bethany Baptist Church moving ahead? Is that really what this verse is saying? That if we stop dreaming, if we stop thinking big and thinking outside the box, that the church is going to die? And that's the key. Is that what the Bible is telling us? That's the key. You have to have that vision, because if you don't have a vision of the future and big dreams and you don't think as big as God thinks, that the church is going to perish? Is that what it's saying? I don't think it is. That's not the type of vision that without the church perishes. So what is the vision that Solomon emphasized? What is he talking about? Well, just to do some work on the word there, in some really easy study, you're going to find that the word vision in that verse, it means revelation, divine communication. So we could say it this way, that vision, according to Solomon, the word he's using here, is a divinely communicated message or revelation. It is a message that comes directly from God. It is God speaking to his people. It's what is described in the second part of this verse, simply as the law. The law was God's divinely communicated message to his people as delivered through Moses. And later, as you follow his word, he communicated with men like Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Hosea and Micah and Nahum and Habakkuk. He spoke through them, and they described a message that they had received from God, and God communicated to the people. In fact, this word vision, this isn't the only place that it's found in the Bible. You don't have to turn over there, but you'll remember in the book of 1 Samuel, there was a time when the child Samuel ministered before the Lord in the temple. And he was there with Eli. And it says in chapter 3 and verse 1, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. That doesn't mean that Eli and Samuel were struggling to envision a bigger temple. No, it means that God was not openly communicating with his people in the temple and to the nation of Israel at that time. Times before, God openly communicated with Moses, and God openly communicated with his people and through Joshua. But at this time, God was not. The people had begun to do that which was right in their own eyes. And God was no longer speaking to them the way that he did. So much so that they said the word of God, it was very precious because God wasn't just openly communicating to his people. So where there is no vision, open revelation, God communicating to his people, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What's the word perish mean? Again, an easy look at that word tells us it means to let go, to let loose, to let alone, to loosen, to ignore, to set at naught, make bare, make naked. It also carries the thought of to go backwards. So here's what our text is teaching us. That where there is no vision, where there's a place or a time, where there's not a place or a time where God is speaking to his people, then they separate themselves out from underneath his blessings and his provisions, and they go backwards. When there comes a time where God isn't clearly and evidently speaking to his people, people begin to go backwards. People begin to separate themselves from God. Again, you can see that illustration in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And so here's Solomon. Solomon's writing to his son, and he's emphasizing to Rehoboam. He's saying, son, you're going to lead this country someday. And here's what you need to do. You need to make sure that you listen to, that your ears are open, and you put yourself in a position where you listen to and you follow God's law. Because, son, without it, if God stops speaking to you, if God stops speaking to the nation of Israel, if you put yourself in a position where he's no longer speaking to you, then the nation of Israel is going to forfeit the blessings of God, and they're going to go backwards. So that brings us to Bethany Baptist Church. It brings our thoughts back to the future of Bethany Baptist Church. And it tells me that the future of this church is dependent not on us being visionaries, as the world would say visionaries, but this church is dependent by how closely we listen to and follow God's divinely communicated message for us. Because at what point God stops speaking, or we stop responding so that God stops speaking, we will forfeit the blessings of God and our church will go backwards. So again, how does that look? Well, I think it's very clear. The Bible that we have, God's Word. Thankful for it, aren't you? This book, it's God's divinely communicated message to his people today. If this ceases to be number one around here, we're going to go backwards and we're going to forfeit God's blessings, and this church is going to go into decline. We're going to perish. This book is preeminent. We will never, and I'm saying this on a night like tonight, we can never get to a place where man's opinion is stronger than God's opinion. What man thinks and what man wants is greater than what God wants. This is his divinely communicated message to us. We stop listening to this. We stop obeying this. We're going to perish. This has to be number one. No preacher, no clique, no group of people, no wealthy church member should ever be able to come into this church and say, well, I'll tell you, this is the way it's going to go, or I'm going to take my money. Take your money and go. There's plenty of churches that you can influence, but this church you're not going to, because we're going to perish with or without you if we forsake God's word. So this book has to be preeminent. But not only that, but preaching is God's way of communicating his word to his people. This is a burden that rests upon me and upon every man that would stand behind this pulpit. In my absence or in my presence, that whoever stands behind this pulpit, that they take the word of God and they rightly divide it and they allow the word of God to speak for itself and the Holy Spirit to use preaching to do a work in your lives. And at what point that God no longer is at work or speaking through the preaching of this church, then we'll perish. We'll perish. Again, that's a huge responsibility that rests upon my shoulders to make certain that I say what God's word says. Because if I start communicating to you, we perish. But if I communicate God's word and God's message to you, and we listen to it, then we're going to be okay. Did you see the end of that verse? He that keepeth the law, happy is he. On one hand, we perish. But when we listen to and we hear and we obey the word of God, the Bible says, you're going to be happy. You know what makes me happy? This church staying around for a long time. My grandkids and my kids growing up in this church, your grandkids and your kids growing up in this church and knowing that when they come here, that the Almighty God of heaven is in this place, and this place is an anointed place and a spirit-filled place, and that the God of heaven is speaking to hearts and lives, and people are responding and lives are being changed. That makes me happy, and I think it makes God happy as well. That's the vision that we must have. That's how we keep from perishing. God's word, God's message to us must remain supreme. Now that's us as a church. And I'm done because we've got a meeting here in a minute. There's a responsibility that rests on my shoulders. But you understand there's a responsibility that rests on your shoulders. Because it's really easy when you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you hear the same voice over and over and over and over and over again. Men, there's a reason why you stop listening to your wives, and they're like, did you hear me? And you're like, you were talking? And they're like, I've been talking for 20 minutes, and I didn't know you was talking. I didn't hear you. It's because we hear that voice so often, we just kind of sometimes tune it out. And it can happen with the preacher as well. You hear my voice over and over and over and over, and you hear a preacher say the same things over and over and over. It can be easy to show up and just go through the motions and never open up our heart and our minds and say, God, speak to me. This church, as long as God's still speaking and His word, His message is preeminent in this place, we're going to be okay. But just because this place is okay doesn't mean you as an individual is going to be okay. You have to come to this place every time the doors are open with an appetite saying, God, speak to me. Because God, at what point you stop speaking to me and I stop listening to you, I'm going to perish. I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to remove myself out from underneath your blessings, and I'm going to begin to go backwards. I've seen it in my own life. When I just get so busy that I stop listening to God, I don't generally go forward spiritually. I always go backwards spiritually. And the same is true for you. So God puts you in a church where Sunday you heard two great messages. And God of heaven was saying through these messages, through the preaching of the Word of God, I want to speak to you. Was your ears open? Did you listen? Did you allow Him to speak? Did you respond? If so, you're happy. But if you didn't, you've removed yourself out from underneath His blessings and you're going backwards. So it's a simple challenge. There's no vision, the people perish. God's word and God's preaching has to be preeminent in this place. Yes. Yep. And us as God's people have to come with an appetite and open ears and an open mind saying, God, you speak to me. Because at what point you stop speaking to me, we're going to perish. And what point He stops speaking through the preaching, we're going to perish. So let's keep it preeminent around here. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Simple challenge tonight. It really is. Nothing new, but something we need to be reminded of. Where there is no vision, the people perish. God, speak to us. God, do your work in our lives. Father, I pray that you would just bless this church and that you would never remove